Next agenda item, 11, report and possible discussion on risk-based capital planning and management approach by Chuck Wolf.
Thank you. So one of the elements of any good risk management program is being able to know what risks you're trying to manage. So what we're going to talk about in the next several slides is really a process that we're putting in place that does not change our asset management policies and procedures. It enhances what would be Section 3 within those policies and procedures, in particular how we identify and coordinate what improvements we're going to make to our assets. So the objectives of the project is to of this internal initiative is to improve our decision making on asset renewal by improving our prioritization of the assets across BRA. And then also with this improved data, we should be able to improve our long-term forecasting through assessment of our renewal needs. So right now you'll see past 20 years, we sort of drop off the map on what our capital renewal needs are. This process will help us get better data on that that we can use and we can feed into that process. This also has a steering team. The steering team is structured a little bit differently because it has such a significant operational component. We've got our operational leaders all plugged into this. So Blake Kettler, Don Malovitz, Jay Middleton, Davey Moore, Connie Tucker, all have operational responsibilities. Brett Thomas is plugged into this as well because he is sort of the master of our internal database system called Micromain that we use to manage the assets and look at the assets. And then our management team members on this are Brad Burnett, David Collinsworth, Jim Forte, Mike McClendon, David Thompson, and then Laura Lee Ballin's also plugged into this too. And they've been doing a lot of work on this process. So. So the process in general is relatively simple. The devil is in the details when it comes to these types of systems and approaches. The first thing we want to do is assess both the condition and the criticality. So risk is primarily an equation of if something goes wrong, how bad is the impact when something goes wrong. So condition is the potential for something to go wrong, and criticality is what would happen if something does go wrong. So you sometimes hear it called consequence of failure, for example. From that, we can build two data sets. One is a relative risk by asset, because we'll have all this data at the asset level. We can also develop an asset risk profile across the BRA. And then from that, we can use that to prioritize our asset renewals to lower the overall risk profile. And then we can also use that to manage our long-term capital forecasting. So the data gives us a lot of information that we can work from a planning perspective. We have actually, as we did with the project management work, we've done work on this in the past. So in 2011, we went through a process as it related to East Williamson County and a few of our other assets to assess the condition of those assets and then to look at the criticality assessments for those. The data will need to be updated for not only East Williamson County, other facilities, but all the assets that we have. So that's going to be part of our efforts going forward. What you want to try to accomplish when you do anything like this is to get a consistent risk score. So part of the way that we describe this is providing objectivity to something that's fundamentally subjective. The way each of us look at assets and when their current condition, such as the roads we had in the park roads discussion, is very different. But if you have a common set of eyes looking at something and you're commonly scoring it, you can sort of take that subjectivity out of the equation. So we look at three factors to develop a risk score. The first one is a likelihood of failure. That's the condition. And you can see the types of things that we look at for that. The other one is a consequence of failure or criticality. And we look typically at economic factors, regulatory factors, or organizational factors, such as the reputation of the Brazos River Authority. Could be an organizational factor. And then we also want to incorporate redundancy because we don't design systems to where if one thing fails, the whole system fails. So we want to make sure that we take into account the fact that there's an implied reduction in risk when you've got four or five items when you only need three or four, for example. What they'll do is generate a risk score. You can actually plot them on a chart. This chart is more there for visual reference that as you move from the bottom left to the top right, you move up in risk, you move up in the need to replace or renew the asset. We have 4,786 assets in our current database. So we don't want to use a plotting approach to this. We want to use more of a numerical approach so we can look at those. So you can see this is actually the data that came out of the 2011 study for the East Williamson County Water Treatment Plant. We've modified it to a 25-point scale. It was on a 15-point scale. But the benefit of this is that you can get a profile of your risks. So in this case, the chemical handling systems and their finished water storage were the highest risk items. It is important to note that this is 13 or 12 and a half on a 25-point scale, so it'd sort of be right in that middle yellow box. So this is not a bad score, but it is interesting that after the 2011 evaluations, we did do work on the chemical handling systems to look at improving some of the systems that were not operating. So it did provide direct benefits. Once you have the risk scores, I'll come back to this. Once you have the risk scores, you have to be able to categorize the assets into different groups for the CI, for capital improvement planning. And we use different business rules for that. I'm not going to go through all these in detail today. It'll probably bore you. But the first one is our risk score. So we actually do a prioritization of the risks. And then we look at the condition. So if something has a relatively good risk score, but it's failed, we want to obviously replace it. Or it's near failure, we want to elevate it. And then we also look at the remaining useful life. And this is one area where this dovetails into the financial, long-range financial projections. The goal of this is to be able to categorize assets into immediate, short-term, mid-term, or long-term buckets that we can do more detailed planning on and get a better idea of what we're going to do with it. Yes, sir?
Are you familiar with any big data analytics for modeling this in the new AI environment?
Yes, so there is a lot of big data evaluations that and approaches that have been under consideration to do this. Of course, the biggest thing about a big data evaluation is you have to have the data. And part of it is, and one of the difficult parts in asset management in the public sector, is where asset management in the private sector was in vogue in the 80s and 90s. It didn't really even hit in the public sector until the 2000s. So it's more of a matter of the data. But once we do have the data, a lot of the analytics we run would definitely be sort of categorized as big data analytics. So the output that you can take from this, once you have things categorized, is you can find out what your buckets would cost you, as well as the number of assets that you would have in those buckets. And you can also look at your average annual replacement cost. So this is an example from another organization's assessments that they've done. And you can see that they had very little expenditures in year one and two. It's because they weren't able to move capital projects forward in one and two because they had to design them and develop them. Then they had this big bump, and then they had this drop off in that 6 to 10 year window, and then they had another big bump. They also had a situation past 20 years where they had a reduction. That's mostly because they were going to update most of their assets before them. So what this particular entity was able to do is use this data to sort of feather out that peak, sort of load, resource load it, level it, and then make it a more consistent spend going forward. So that's what we'd like to be able to do with our data as we've got the data. So what we have coming up is for the remainder of fiscal year 19, we're going to be establishing our asset hierarchy so we can assign our criticality information to groups of assets. We don't want to have to say the consequence of failure of a pump and a motor and a control panel is X, Y, or Z. We just like to say this setup is a certain consequence of failure. We also want to map the hierarchy to our N4 financial database. That gives us the ability to use this for long-range financial planning. Then we're going to perform a gap analysis on assets. For example, our dams are listed as dams, which is important because they are very important assets. But there's elements within the dams that we want to be able to look at, so we've got to break those out a little bit. And then initial assignment of criticality data to our asset list, which will take us through the end of August for sure. And then in FY20, we'll build upon this, develop condition assessment data for all the assets, finalize our criticality of assets, and use the prioritization to help frame our FY21 CIP planning efforts, and then develop initial estimates for replacement costs and timing of all of our assets into long-range financial plans. So this is going to take a couple years to move through. We'll provide you updates as we go through it of what kind of information we see coming out of it.
That last bullet, develop estimates for replacement costs, given the age of our infrastructure, limestone's 40 years old, Dallas Green Garrett, 50 years old, 50 year anniversary this year, in providing the information that FNA needs to look at those long-term financial models, this type of information is going to be critical to make sure that our 10 year and our 15 and our 20 year projections are as close to reality as they can be, and that we're prioritizing exactly what we need to be prioritizing and bringing to you to protect those assets.
Yep.
So I think it's critical.
So I know I went through that pretty quick, but I'd be available to take any questions if you have them.
Seeing none, thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Let's take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back. Yeah.